Hello, this is episode 10 of the Teen Podcast. I'm Nisha. So I really detest kind of blanket, vilified statements around screen technology and smartphones. The reality for me as someone who is dyslexic, everything that I have ever needed as a tool in order to help me to function in the world is now available in my pocket in the form of a phone. There are many ways to improve your well-being through the phone. There are many tools. It's an incredible learning device. It's a device that's very accessible in countries. I think a lot of our perceptions on the developing world, the reality is that they have access to a phone, and that can be an extraordinary learning platform. And one of the earliest projects that I was involved in was using very basic technology to allow people in Africa to study images, satellite imagery, for climate change purposes. So if we put consideration into our use of technology, we can actually make it incredibly accessible to people. There's a real supremacy and whiteness in how we speak about technology and in the assumptions that we make around it. You know, if you want to go off and Google it, there are amazing projects taking place in Africa as well to change the perception of what is being recorded on sites such as Wikipedia about Africa, and actually changing the content and changing how we view the world from outside of other cultures. Actually actively getting cultures to record themselves and the truth of their culture. So I didn't expect to talk about that when I started talking about this podcast. So screen time. What do you need to know? Like, what is reasonable? What is good practice? For a start, what all of the studies are saying is that it matters more why you're using your phone and how you're using your phone, rather than just assuming that you're using your phone and that that's bad for you and that you're going to have mental illness and rage episodes and lack of concentration because you're using smart technology. One of the aspects that I always advocate for is that many people who go through the process of school refusal and who switch off in school are actually using technology at home to learn languages. They can surprise people by learning Mandarin. They are avid fans of the Discovery Channel, the History Channel, and they are learning how to program, how to create websites, how to code, and they are all of this knowledge is available to them on screens, and that's actually what they're using screens for. They're not using screens just for Snapchat or TikTok or silly little videos. So it matters what we use phones for. So if you're using your phone to expose yourself for hours every day just to social media and to a high volume of notifications, to a lot of demands of communication, of instant gratification, of the pressure to instantly reply, those are bad practices because you're often doing this when you're multitasking. You're not focused on just one task, which is not a good thing to do. You're not resting at any moment. You're not relaxing. You're always scrolling. You're always responding. You're always picking up your phone for notifications. So the things you should start to get interested in your phone are the notifications that are switched on. There's data there on why you pick up your phone. What's the first thing you do when you pick up your phone? There are limits that you can set for all the different apps, whether those are social media or whether they're messaging communication. There are filters to turn those off at certain times of the day, which is a good practice. And then one of the next most important things you need to do is to limit the amount of blue light out of your phone, especially in the evenings. And again, you can schedule a night mode setting to do this for you. And that's just good practice. Ideally, you should stop using your screen sort of 30 minutes to an hour before bed, before sleep, so it doesn't impact your sleep patterns. By turning on the night mode setting about 2 hours before you're due to sleep is a really good practice. And I often recommend using phones and using much of the meditation apps and much of the technology that's available there to actually improve your sleep patterns and to help you to sleep. So using audio is fine, it's just the visuals that aren't. So it matters how we use technology. It matters what we use technology for. It matters what content we're exposed to. And in that, there are good practices, and all of the settings are available there to help you to have good practice. And that's just good practice for life. It's good practice for us not to read our emails 24/7. It's good practice for us not to have our phone at mealtimes. It's good practice for us to have social engagement without our phone, to put it away. I think one of the aspects that's most horrifying for me when I go to cafes, and it's not teenagers doing this, it's actually adults, usually couples, who spend the entire visit of the cafe with one or the other of them stuck in their phone, and they're not engaged with each other. And I don't really know why they're out together. But this exactly the same could be said for your parents who binge on Netflix series or box sets of TV in the evenings, and they want that set time for themselves to do that, and they're not actually engaged with each other. So one of the aspects is to learn when it's appropriate to use technology, to learn to put it away, to learn possibly, if you can have other ways of waking up in the morning, to actually take your phone out of your bedroom. There's a sense of, can you self-regulate yourself? Can you stop the practice of instant gratification, of sending a message to someone and instantly expecting a response? As late teens and as early adults, we get sucked into dating sites in this way. We get sucked into wanting the instant reply from someone. So these are just good practices. It's got nothing to do with whether screen time, where we make the assumptions about anxiety and depression. There are so many facilities within your smart app to facilitate you having less anxiety and less depression and having a really good wellness practice. So we can't just make these blanket statements, oh, your phone is bad for you. Your phone is a tool, and it depends how you use it as to whether or not it is bad for you.